Was there an Adam? Was there an Eve? Or did we evolve from what we conceived? Either way, we got what we needed when the sun shone down on the Garden of Eden.
And so we went digging into the ground and started to burn many things we found, but...
Yeah, we did. Started to burn many things we found. Too many things. We started to burn too many things we found. This is Harvey Wasserman back with another Solartopia Green Power and Wellness Hour. We are going to be talking about the biggest news in the world. Today, the recount, the attempted recount, the funded green recount led by Jill Stein, starting in Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, to determine whether or not we're going to have an actual fascist in the White House. And where I was told today that Hillary Clinton's vote count may soon exceed that of Barack Obama in 2008. I'm not sure that's actually going to happen. She's well over 2 million votes. Only in America, I suppose, do we have a vast majority of the public come out and elect a person for president of the United States and wind up with someone else, in this case, and the truly terrifying ghost of Donald Trump. And we're going to get into the details in a minute. I have two extremely important guests with me today. First, my co-conspirator, Bob Petrakis, attorney, political science PhD, professor of political science at Columbus State Community College. Bob, you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can. Can you hear me?
Yes, indeed, Harvey.
All right. Well, we should be able to hear each other. We're only a couple miles apart in Columbus, Ohio. And on the West Coast, the left coast, Steve Rosenfeld, a reporter for Alternet, covering, doing a great job these days of covering the elections and the theft of the 2016 election. Steve, are you with us?
Yep, I'm here. Great to hear you guys' voice.
Okay, likewise. Bob, I'm going to get to you in a minute because Steve has said he's got to leave. You're going to be with me the whole hour. I want to go into great detail on Wisconsin. You were just in Wisconsin. You did a day trip to go up there and help train people. You are the attorney for Jill Stein in these recounts, so you're right smack in the heart of things. I wanted to talk to Steve first. Steve has been writing a series of pieces of coverage on Alternet, and your current piece says that the Republicans are freaking out. That's your phrase over the recounts. What is happening to freak out the Republicans about these recounts?
Well, what's happened, several things. What's happened today is that Trump for president campaign files a lawsuit in Michigan to block the recount. That's what why I got to go. I got to write this thing up. And they're saying that they can't finish it by having a hand count in time, and therefore it's going to, what's the word, jeopardize, undermine, prevent the great, you know, the people of the great state of Michigan from participating in the Electoral College, and therefore the whole thing shouldn't happen. And they base their argument on this notion of the term aggrieved, that Jill Stein cannot truly be aggrieved because she had no chance of winning.
God, they said that.
They said that. I just got a copy of the complaint, the legal complaint. And this kind of follows that's a really serious thing because, you know, running out the clock on this, as Bob can talk about, what happened in 2004 in Ohio was, you know, people were really trying to get a sense of what the actual vote was, and then the Electoral College met, and it was as if two ships passed in the night. And people here are trying, in 2016, are really trying to be aware of that and you know, get this thing started, and there might be litigation to try to slow that process down as if real conflicts come up. But be it as it may, the other thing is in Wisconsin yesterday, as far as like what is freaking out the Republicans, the Wisconsin Republican Party, which this is the same party that was just slapped down by a federal appeals court for its partisan redistricting, which is being essentially incredibly unfair and prejudicial to rig the balance of political power in their state. They filed a complaint with the Federal Election Commission saying, oh my God, the Greens have been collaborating with the Clinton campaign and over the recount, and that therefore it's illegal and they must investigate now, which is the biggest joke in the world, because the people who actually were trying to encourage the Greens to file also met with the Clinton campaign, and they were completely and totally blown off. So there you go. Examples of Republicans, you know, worrying that a real count might actually do the one thing that nobody really wants to talk about, which is show that some kind of induced error, you know, tilted the result in Trump's favor. So there you go.
Wow. Bob, you want to put in a quick comment on that?
Oh, no, I agree with Steve, is that you wonder why they're fighting this so hard. And Michigan, of course, you know, with 11,000 votes separating when we started this, and all sorts of interesting things, particularly with the large amount of undervotes, where many of those in Democratic strongholds where apparently people voted down the whole ticket, but left off Hillary Clinton. And that was a pattern that occurred in Florida with Al Gore in 2000, and could easily be done with bad calibration on a voting machine, essentially telling it to ignore the top of the ticket.
God. Well, let's look at this situation, this breaking news here. Steve, your article, I assume, will be up in Alternet by the morning about this.
Yeah.
Bob, are you familiar with this suit that the Republicans have now filed in Michigan?
Yeah, my relatives called me up and wanted to know why I was costing them money and whether it was all over my Facebook. I'm from Detroit. Particularly the Republican wing of the family wanted to know why I was, you know, costing them all this tax money.
So, Steve Rosenfeld, did the Republicans, this is the Trump campaign, not the Republican Party?
No, this is the Trump campaign. Yeah, this is the Trump campaign. And, my understanding is this. There's a state board of canvassers, you know, a completely obscure board that nobody ever hears about except maybe once every quarter century in moments like this. And they're the ones that basically certify the countywide totals. And they're the ones who said, okay, we'll take your $1 million check, or $974,000, whatever it is, from the Stein campaign, which they did for the recount. And they were sued. And they have, you know, this is running out the clock. They've got the statutory process of 5 days to have a decision. But the point is, this is running out the clock. And, you know, it's not any different than calling those timeouts.
Well, wait. I want to get something clear. Did the Trump campaign sue Jill Stein, or did they
They filed a – let me pull it up. It's right here on my laptop. I just got to get to it. It's right here. What it is.
So unlike Bush v. Gore, this will not be Trump v. Stein.
No, this is a petition, and you know, Donald J. Trump and Donald J. Trump for President Inc. objection to Dr. Jill Stein's recount petition, and it's filed with the State of Michigan Board of State Canvassers. And it has an affidavit at the bottom by somebody who, you know, I don't know, you know, what is he in my 43 years in practice of law involving recounts, blah, blah, blah. He says there's no way they're going to finish a hand count in time.
In time for what?
in time for the Electoral College to meet and vote on December 19th.
So they're saying,
remember, December 13th, Harvey, is the Safe Harbor Day. If you get your electoral slate in by them, they're guaranteed. The state of Wisconsin has set a deadline for December 12th at 8 p.m. To finish the count. I believe they have plenty of time to do it, but Steve's absolutely right. They're trying to run out the clock. And he's also right. We saw this in Ohio as well.
Well, yeah. All right, so let's get the mechanics straight here. The Electoral College is due to meet December 19th, right? Now,
yeah.
The Electoral College, as I understand it, does not all go to Washington and pay tuition. They meet in their state capitals.
Right.
Is that correct?
Yes.
So the delegates for the state, for the Electoral College, each meet in each one of the 50 state capitals plus the District of Columbia. Does Puerto Rico have Electoral College votes? I don't think they do.
I don't think they do.
So there's 51 classrooms in the Electoral College, and they meet December 19th, and they vote on who they're going to vote for, who they're designated to vote for, and then those votes are transmitted, and then the Congress meets, what is it, January 6th, sometime in early January, to certify the votes.
I think that's basically right. And the thing is, people have missed that, you know, late December deadline, and they've, you know, and you know, there's an arcane history here where if not all the states certify, it may or may not force Congress to, you know, delay. I think 1960, John Kennedy, Bob, maybe you remember this. You know,
yeah, I remember that there were problems with that election, but Steve's right. People have missed Safe Harbor Day before. It's exactly, you know, it doesn't make it unsafe and unacceptable. Is that if they vote on December 19th, it is not likely under any circumstance that the U.S. Congress is going to reject the vote on December 19th.
Yeah, so basically what I read earlier in this week in a Detroit Times piece was, here's the most alarming thing that I read, and I know some of these people because in the past number of years I've done stuff, you know, working on voter registration modernization panels with Pew, and I've met a lot of these state election directors. Well, Chris Thomas, who was the state election director for Michigan, basically said, it was, you know, told the Detroit Times and other reporters that basically once the Electoral College meets, they're just going to suspend the recount. You know, what's
oh God, really?
Yeah, he said this. So I mean, what you've got here, and he said, you know, it's sort of like Florida. He made the comparison to Florida in 2000. So, you know, so here you have the state with the smallest, you know, margin of victory for Trump, 11,000. You've got these computer scientists saying that the error rate on these machines, regardless of good programming, bad programming, ill intent or good intent, is a certain percentage. And you multiply that times the millions who voted in Michigan, and the number is greater than 11,000. So you know, this is why the Greens wanted a hand count. And they're saying, and you know, and this is what the computer scientists say, more than 11,000 votes are likely to have been misrecorded. Now, you know, it doesn't mean they're all going to be for one candidate or another, but this is why you have a recount. This is why you verify. And they're basically, you know, trying to run out the clock, you know, put a stick in the spokes of the great wheel that's turning, and then pretend everything is just fine.
Well, one of the things, now, if I understood you correctly, though, one of the things they're saying is that because Jill Stein is not within mathematical range to win the state, she has no standing to sue force a recount. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's exactly right. They're basically saying because she's a trivial third-party candidate, she should just get the hell out of the room and forget about having any. You know, they use more polite language. But that's exactly what they say, that she doesn't really have a true grievance.
Bob, do you want to comment on that?
Well, the U.S. Constitution requires that you have a controversy under law to have standing. But again, from federal money to total vote is, you know, if the election and the exit polls are indicating that the results are improbable, and you're a candidate on the ballot, and you're fighting for ballot status in the future, you're fighting for matching funds, of course, it's not whether you win or not as a third party, is do you get your 5%? I mean, here in Ohio, I wish we would have recounted here, Donald Trump got an unexplained 8.5% shift in a state where we needed Jill Stein to get 3% on the ballot. So she does have a stake. It's not the same stake as the two major parties, but clearly a minor party that's trying to grow itself has a stake in moving forward. And if, you know, the votes are shifted by 6%, 4%, you're showing 3% in the polls prior to the election, of course you have a stake in an accurate vote count.
Well, that's an interesting point. Steve Rosenfeld, is there any indication that the Clinton campaign, if this move by the Republicans to block this recount because Jill Stein allegedly doesn't have an interest, is there any indication that the Clinton campaign might jump in and help force the recount?
Well, I don't really know, but I'll tell you, as you're saying this, I'm just going to look because I'm just going to take a look at one place, which is I'm going to look on Twitter for because their lawyer actually likes to post on Twitter. His name is Mark Elias, and maybe we'll see if he has anything here. And
all right. Well, why are you looking?
Nothing yet. All they're doing is saying is talking about how she keeps has more than 2.5 million. Votes, you know, popular vote leads. So, yeah, this is, you know, there's a lot about this recount that's uncharted territory, unfortunately, and it should actually not be uncharted territory. It should just be standard operating procedure, which is you verify the votes. I mean, look, even if we don't, you know, even nobody really expects, no one knows what's going to happen, but nobody really expects the results of this election to be overturned. But it would be really nice to know, you know, who were the people who elected Donald Trump and what are their grievances and, you know, and what's really going on here? Because, and, you know, and then how, you know, people should know, like, how rickety the machinery of elections is, and because this stuff really does matter. Believe me, the next 4 years, we're going to see how much it matters.
Well, there's no doubt about that. Now, we're talking here about Michigan and Wisconsin. Is anything happening in Pennsylvania, Steve?
Pennsylvania is becoming a disaster. It's actually the process in Pennsylvania, unlike Michigan and Wisconsin, is a citizen petition led process. Because the state had an early deadline for ordering a statewide recount, the Greens didn't file before that. It means that you have to get 3 voters per precinct. Now, this is crazy. There are 9,163 precincts in Pennsylvania. So that means they have to get 27,000 signatures. So what done is that they have focused in a mad, mad organizing scramble to basically try to get enough precincts in enough of the swing counties to submit these petitions at the county boards of elections, and then they have a citizen ordered recount. Well, in one of the big suburban counties around Philadelphia, a judge yesterday, with no explanation, basically just said, "We're not doing it." He just ordered the process shut down, and that was after a complaint was filed by the local election office that didn't want to do it and the local Republican Party. So We'll be lucky if it's like a giant exit poll, if you know what I'm saying. You know, a sample of I don't know how many thousands of ballots, and it'll be a real patchwork thing. And you know, this is a state with a Democratic Secretary of State. None of the state's Democratic Party officials are moving an inch. They're all talking about how they want to go hunting because deer season opened this week. I'm not kidding. That's what I was told.
Hunting what? Where are they going to hunt?
Deer.
Oh, God. Unbelievable. Bob, have you, Bob Patricus, have you had anything to do with Pennsylvania at all? As Joe's,
Steve's generally right. There's, really it was in the Philadelphia area and one other county where a variety of this came in. They also filed a petition that would seemingly allow you to perhaps count the whole state if from the smaller count there was some indication of problem. But there's another problem that Steve didn't mention is, 80% of that, up to 80% of that state is touchscreen computers with no paper trail. There was a 10-year Supreme Court battle which ended just within the last year or so, where the court said essentially they don't have to put a voter-verified paper audit trail, a VPAC, in the machines. It's up to the legislature. If they want paper, they'll allocate the money for paper. So there's always been a question of how exactly you recount and count it when there's no paper, which always meant it was left up to some sort of electronic forensics on trying to get the vote out.
Yeah, Bob is absolutely right. If anything, Pennsylvania is a poster child for a completely unverifiable election. It's ridiculous, basically.
Oh, my God. All right, so I know you have to leave, so but before you do, Steve, what about North Carolina and Florida? These five states, Florida, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, are the ones that decided this election in the Electoral College. Has there been any possibility of any kind of recounting in Florida or North Carolina?
Well, the only recount going on in North Carolina is in the governor's race. And what happens is, when people do these recounts, they more or less put blinders on and they just narrowly focus on one race and not the others. And that's a very contested process because basically the Republican incumbent is something like 9,000 votes behind, and he's making all these allegations of that you would expect Republican incumbents to make, voter fraud, theft, and all the bad behavior, and it just happens to be the communities of color, of course. And but the thing is, it's not really on the presidential side. And there's nothing in Florida. But, some of the people who filed this recount in these, for the Greens, some of the research that they were talking about before this whole thing started very much implicated North Carolina and Florida. They, last summer, the Department of Homeland Security, issued these warnings to different states because at least two states had their voter registration databases hacked. Now, this is not coming from me. This is, if you believe it, it's coming from the Department of Homeland Security. Well, the firm that had the database management contracts they were hacked. They're based in Florida. They've got the Florida contract. They've also got the North Carolina contract, and they've got Illinois. So they were hacked, and then this is on CNN. I'm not making this stuff up. And then two other states were hacked. And people are wondering, were key counties in swing states targeted? And no one's going to get a satisfactory answer, unfortunately. That's the sad but honest truth.
So the long story short, and this is an astonishing story. The governor of the incumbent Republican governor of North Carolina, Bob and Steve, has called for a recount. Now, my understanding is that Trump allegedly carried North Carolina by almost 200,000 votes, and they took the Senate seat there. But the governor lost by 9,000 votes. How that happens is beyond me. You know, I mean, you could question whether somebody hacked the votes on the top, and that you would expect that if the Republican governor loses by 9,000 votes, maybe the Republican candidate for president and senator would also lose by 9,000 votes. But be that as it may, he is demanding a recount only for the governor's race in North Carolina. Is that correct?
Yes, and it's not just but it's not a statewide recount. It's only in like one populous county in the Raleigh-Durham area.
Where there are a lot of black people.
Right.
What a coincidence. So, but he apparently, and Bob, you probably know this or follow this, that apparently there's a clause in the law in North Carolina that would allow the legislature to give him another term and ignore the election. Is that correct? Have you guys heard about this?
Yeah.
I mean, I've heard that, but I wouldn't comment because I haven't studied the law, North Carolina, which we looked at going into, a lot of the thought was that how do you turn around voter suppression, right? If there's nothing there to count. I mean, there was a problem with the exit polls, but the thought was that election was won primarily by old-fashioned Jim Crow voter suppression.
Steve, what do you say about that?
Well, I've read the election law blogs on this one, and here's what happens. Election lawyers will spin out all kinds of scenarios and theories. They'll throw all kinds of stuff against the wall, and maybe every now and then something will stick. So, yeah, there is a scenario where if they botch up the works enough, it would, in this recount in the governor's race, it could fall to their state legislature, which is Republican-controlled. And that's not very different, by the way, from the dynamics of, an electoral college snafu having it fall to the House of Representatives. So,
right.
That's kind of the free associating going on that people are writing about.
Well, let's put it this way, too. Since you mentioned the national law, the national law is, and this is part of the 12th Amendment, and we wrote a piece about this earlier in the year. The law states that the 12th Amendment lays out that if no candidate gets a majority of the Electoral College, which could happen if Trump were deprived under the current circumstance of the electoral votes of Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania, he would fall below, even if they didn't go to Hillary, he would fall below the 270 mark. In that case, the choice of the president would fall to the House of Representatives, which would vote on a state delegation by state delegation basis. In other words, it would not be a majority of the House of Representatives. It would be a majority of the state delegations, as in each one getting an individual vote in the House of Representatives, if you can imagine that. Now, of course, Trump would win that hands down because the state delegations in the National House of Representatives are way on the Republican side, state by state. And, of course, they also have a substantial majority of the representatives now. But so something like that, I guess, could be set up in North Carolina. It would be astounding if the Republican incumbent emerged from this election in North Carolina with control of the state house. That would be truly amazing, I got to say.
Well, we just don't know what's going to happen. It's not
now,
the process is not done.
And there's nothing at all happening, Bob or Steve, in Florida? There's no chance of recount in Florida?
It's fairly easy to recount Florida if you've got some money, because it allows an elector to actually ask for a recount. It's a little late in the game, but there were rumors of Rocky D. Fuentes, an independent candidate who has connections to that state, recounting. And I know there were various not the Green Party, but other groups that have looked into it. I mean, because the numbers there don't look exactly like Wisconsin, but, you know, it's a state that the exit polls showed Clinton winning, and, of course, Trump won with a switch.
Now, the exit polls, I guess the reason we focus so much on these five states, Florida, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin, is that all five of them, the exit polls show Hillary Clinton winning. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Those were the five states. When Jill Stein was going through the process, she actually looked at a variety of the polls and she was supposed to be winning by, look at Wisconsin. In Wisconsin, she's supposed to be winning about by 4 points. She ends up losing, you know, just barely losing by 1% or so. So that 5-point shift is really not likely to happen that often from the exit polls to the official tally. In Ohio, where she didn't think about going in, Trump was actually winning by a tenth of a vote, and there was a larger unexplained shift in our state of 8.5% that really defies mathematical probability. But it wasn't a targeted state because Trump was shown in the exit polls to be up by a tenth of 1%.
So what you're saying is that in Ohio, the exit polls showed Trump winning by a tenth of a percent, and the actual vote count showed him winning by, what, 7 or 8?
Yeah, now you by about 8 point. There was a shift of 8.5%. Yeah, so he's winning by about 8.5% instead of a tenth of a percent.
Are there any other states in the in this election that showed Hillary Clinton winning in the exit polls that she then lost in the actual vote count?
Well, yeah, I can pull up the list. And there were other states where that were actually worse off in terms of the vote, but ended up, and again, you can find these at freepress.org. But the key ones, if you look at Florida, for example, I'll go down the list. You know, with 95% confidence, a confidence interview, I mean, the difference is between Trump gets 49.1%. The exit polls say 46.4. That's likely once in every 220 elections. So you times that by four. Okay, it's not a real long shot. But as you work through North Carolina, for example, Trump ends up with 50.5. The exit polls, unadjusted, show 46.6. Now, this is a much larger long shot. This is once in every 19,000 elections. So you can actually do the mathematical calculation. All these long shots are going in one direction. Wisconsin, again, Trump wins 47.9. If you look at his exit poll share, he should have got 44.3. So this would occur about once in 850 elections. But the interesting thing is they're all going in one election. And if you look at Clinton, for example, in Pennsylvania, Clinton was supposed to get 47.6%. You know, the exit poll showed her at 50.5% of the vote, but she only gets 47.6. This is one in every 60 election. It's just outside the margin of error. So we've done this for every state. And, in fact, in New York, Clinton has an unexplained 6.2% of the vote from the exit poll. But there's some states, Utah and Missouri, and what no one's really talking about are, you know, Feingold in Wisconsin, McGinty in Pennsylvania, and Tander in Missouri, the three senators that the exit polls, particularly Feingold, suggest that the Democrats should have won those three Senate seats.
Well, we're talking with Steve Rosenfeld of Alternet, reporting on the elections, and Bob Fitrakis, my co-conspirator, talking. Bob is the lead counsel for Jill Stein on the recounts. It is a devastating story. Steve, I don't know if I can keep you much longer. What do you want to leave us with if you got to go?
Well, I'm just going to sit here and listen. I'm going to try to, actually, as I'm listening, just try to start writing up this thing in Michigan. This is really astounding. We have not since 2004 in Ohio have we been left with so many dots that, you know, are begging to be connected, that will fill out the question of what really happened here. I mean, let's just step back for a second. You know, this is really not a pressing the replay button on Ohio in 2004. It really, really isn't. What you've got is you've got a series of concerns surrounding the voting machinery, and there are different systems that that where there are all kinds of anomalies that just don't quite make sense. Why are there more margins of victory for Trump on the paperless machines versus the ones that use paper? You know, regardless.
Let me grab you on that, Steve. Is that a national phenomenon? Do we have a national trend that's identifiable that says that Trump?
I don't know the answer to that. I just know that that's what was found in Wisconsin. So the thing is, but beyond stuff like that, you have the affidavits that were filed, which are the supporting statements that were filed in Wisconsin on Monday, that were calling for a hand count, which is, these are not, you know, these weren't the people who were, you know, working with the people we know in Ohio in 2004. These are computer scientists at MIT, UC Berkeley, Rice University, Stanford, Iowa, these state universities. These are the chairmen of their computer and mathematics departments saying you cannot trust these machines, you cannot trust the software, and they are also saying this is an election where the Russians, the Russians have been shown that to be interfering electronically by hacking the Democratic Party, hacking the DNC, hacking Hillary's campaign chairman's emails, and they are more than capable of interfering and accessing these election systems if they want to. And they said, and they're saying in these legal documents that they were caught trying to do this in Ukraine 2 years ago, and nobody's taking this seriously. It's people just don't want to believe that this could be true, or I don't know what, or if you raise this, they think you're a flake. But these are the top computer scientists and mathematicians. Never before in a presidential recount, you know, have people like this stepped up to the front of the line, you know, and it's completely unprecedented.
This is like being on a drug here. We have, is this the Russian government you're talking about?
Well, we don't know, but, you know, it's really, this is a thing. And, you know, Bob knows this in a way that I don't know this because of all the investigative reporting you have done. But, you know, if the Department of Homeland Security is to be believed, I mean, look, I have a friend whose wife was the national finance chair for the DNC in the first 4 years of Obama. Their email was hacked, and all their bank information and everything else was thrown out there. And they were told by the FBI that this was done by people based in Russia. And that's a personal anecdote. You know, the stuff that's gone out there more institutionally has been the Department of Homeland Security has warned the states that their systems are vulnerable and take precautions, et cetera, et cetera. So there has never been in our lifetime, you know, recent foreign interference as overtly in a presidential election. And then you have all these computer scientists and computer security experts saying, you know what, it could happen here, so let's just not run the ballots through the machines again. Let's look at the paper and try to do the best we can when you have imperfect, at best, ways to count these things. And people are blowing it off. They're saying no.
Well, to me, you know, we all grew up with this Cold War craziness. And now all of a sudden we're hearing that the allegation, the scenario put out there that Putin, who apparently does business with Donald Trump and doesn't like Hillary Clinton and vice versa, that the Russians are communist or formerly communist nemesis, has now, in a classic Cold War manner, used computer technology to subvert the Democratic Party in favor of the Republicans? Is that what we're talking about here?
Look, I'm not inventing this, but, you know, I'm Bob. Please jump in here. But, I mean, you know, this is what's been filed in court in the recounts, and it's not been filed by activists. It's been filed, you know, by people who routinely are activists. They're filed by mathematics and computer scientists, mathematics professors and computer scientists who normally advise Congress and all these arcane federal, you know, bureaus about engineering standards.
And again, it was John Boniface who came to Jill Stein representing the group, you know, these computer scientists and engineers who came in with the concern, including Halderman at Michigan, is that the numbers, look, our State Department and our AID, the Agency on International Development, have red flags, right? Is that when the numbers between the unadjusted exit polls and the official tally are so far off, it raises a red flag, you investigate the election. And this is what we do overseas when we say that doesn't look like a free and fair election. Now, in this case, the entire computer science elite community looked at the red flags and, you know, went to John Boniface, who of course, went to the Clinton campaign and also to the Stein campaign and said, look, there's these red flags. This needs to be recounted. It wasn't like we weren't sitting around in the Green Party saying, man, I mean, we were writing stuff, you know, Harvey, you and I wrote stuff, but we weren't asking for a recount. This was brought to us. You know, and we had the same, we should have the same standards as our own government. Our own government, you know, overseas would be looking into these funny, you know, numbers that are just, well, they're not a smoking gun and direct evidence. They're these huge red flags that said someone has been tampering with your election.
It's mind-boggling. I mean, you know, if this was Cuba or the Congo or Ukraine, for example, we'd be preparing to send in troops, right? And here we are, you know, and then not only did the Clinton campaign pass, but the Obama administration. Well, Steve or Bob, am I missing? Tell us exactly what has the Obama administration, the sitting government of the United States of America, done to investigate this election?
Well, all I can tell you is I've just heard anecdotal reports from people who I know who were, you know, 4 years ago, you know, their family members, their spouses who had, you know, high-level connections in the DNC saying that people around the White House don't believe the Russians did this. They're just poo-pooing it. They don't really want to they don't want to give it any credence. There's no – you know, I'm not in a position to evaluate that at all. I mean, I can only tell you about it because I'm not a computer scientist. I don't know what reports they're seeing, you know, and on and on and on. But, you know, again, it's, you know, sometimes what happens in Washington, and Al Gore was a good example of this, is people just want to be, you know, patriotic to the system despite all of its flaws. And they somehow just believe, well, maybe it's the other guy's turn. And and I think there's some of that going on, you know, with the current administration. I mean, you know, they're not pushing forth their Supreme Court nominee as a recess appointment and other things like that. So I don't know, but you know, and I do know, by the way, that it wasn't just some of the people who filed these affidavits in court, these computer scientists who met with the Clinton campaigns. You know, there were other people who were advising John Boniface, who used to work in Israeli intelligence and now have PhD positions at Harvard, who said this is the way it's done in Eastern Europe. Wake up and pay attention to this stuff. And I'm not making this up. You know, they haven't filed any affidavits yet. Maybe they wouldn't be seen as respectable as some of these other folks. But this is what was going on behind, as Bob was saying, behind the scenes to push for this recount in the first place.
Well, I think it's safe to say that the Obama administration has done every bit as much to protect the sanctity of our electoral process as they've done to deal with the Dakota Pipeline and the protection of the Missouri River. That's a fair analysis, wouldn't you say? Which is to say nothing. I mean, they haven't lifted a finger.
It's beyond nothing. I mean, Obama, you know, I mean, all the reports are he encouraged Clinton to concede. So, you know, doing nothing would have been bad. But essentially, with all of these funny numbers and the cream of the crop of computer scientists in the country saying these numbers don't look right, he said, concede.
Yeah. God, well.
Yeah, and it's as you know, and it's as Bob was saying too. I mean, it's one thing to lose the presidency; it's another thing to lose the Supreme Court. I mean, I don't like to brag about my age, but you know, I am approaching 60, and I don't like the prospect that for the rest of my adult life, the Supreme Court is going to be dominated by the most, you know, arcane, you know, by the most extreme, you know, religious conservatives and the most pro-corporate possible justices, or a majority of them, and that's what we've got. And if you look at those exit polls, there is that discrepancy. And it wasn't just the presidential campaign. And, you know, people need to just understand what happened. You know, maybe there's a really good explanation, and we just have to suck it up and just say, okay, we lost. She was a lousy candidate. You know, maybe, you know, Bernie really played a role in, like, undermining her because, you know, how could she make an economic argument that, you know, it was compelling after him? And maybe all that is really true. But on the other hand, the exit polls said that the Democrats should have retained a Senate majority. And that means the Supreme Court. So, you know, this is not inconsequential stuff. And we're not making
Well, we're talking about, I know, we're talking about six Senate seats here. Three in 2014, North Carolina, Alaska, and Colorado, and now three more in 2016, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Missouri. And in all cases, the exit polls showed that the Democrats won those Senate seats and then turned around and lost them in the general vote. A swing of six Senate seats taking with it the United States Supreme Court. And the Democratic Party has said a sum total of nothing about any of that. Is that accurate?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's absolutely accurate. And you've got to look at what was motivating, you know, the cream of the crop of the computer scientists. It's not just, you know, these swing states that look like they're going for Clinton and suddenly shift by a small margin. But in 24 out of 28 states with exit polls, there's an unexplained shift towards Trump, somewhere within the margin of error. But what you would expect out of 28 states is the shift would go both ways. It would be 14-14 or 13-15 or 12-16. This is like flipping a coin, and 24 out of 28 times it comes up heads for Trump. Also, in 26 out of the 28 states, Trump has a larger voter share than what the voters were saying. The odds of this, again, is once in every 710,000 elections, is that all of these numbers are overwhelmingly going in one direction. And it's the composite of all these numbers going in one direction, unexplained, that has the computer scientists worried.
Well, it's got the whole world worried. That's for sure. And you know, it's after all these years. I mean, we've been at this now for 16 years since 2016, since 2000. And Al Gore has yet to say a word about this after the 2000 election. John Kerry has yet to say a word about 2004 in Ohio, and now we have 2016. And you know, you mentioned Bernie Sanders. I would assume that if Hillary had nominated Bernie Sanders for vice president, there would have been an army of people out there, and this wouldn't be happening. But that's another story.
I agree with you completely. I completely agree.
And I agree as well. And Harvey, if you're talking about Feingold, if you look at there, Feingold, the pollers come out, the exit poll pollsters found that the voters coming out said he won with 50.7% of the vote. He ends up officially with 46.8. The likelihood of that happening, one in about 1,800 elections. But you're absolutely right. If you go to McGuinty in Pennsylvania, again, the people walking out saying he's getting 50% of the vote. And there's an error of plus or minus 2, but he only gets 47.2. It's outside the margin of error. This happens once in about every 66 elections. So when you look at these consistent patterns, all in one direction, all harming the Democratic Party. I mean, Kander in Missouri, the people come out and say he's winning 52.3%. Kander's winning, and they end up with 46.2. One in every 11,000 Senate races produces a result like that. So these numbers from, it's not just Clinton. It is indeed the Senate races in these battleground states as well.
It's devastating. And here we are, you know, us three journalists here, independent journalists, and not part of the Democratic Party, and nobody in the Democratic Party is saying a word, and we're all conspiracy theorists here, because we've only been doing this for 16 years now, and there's still people screaming at Ralph Nader, and, you know, we still have an electoral college. This still could happen again and again and again, and we're about to have the first real bona fide fascist president of the United States, and we're not hearing a peep from the Democratic Party or the mainstream media. It's devastating. It's absolutely devastating. We're almost out of time. Steve, do you want to give us a last couple words here? How do people reach you? Where do people see your stuff?
Well, you know, the stuff I've been writing is on alternet.org, and I'm very grateful that they've allowed me to be able to write about this stuff. You know, we at Alternet think that what's likely to emerge in a Trump administration is going to be really devastating and undermine what we have basically spent decades trying to support and bring to life as progress in America. And, you know, I got to say, I mean, sometimes it feels like the Democrats are being just as bad as the Republicans. I mean, reelecting Nancy Pelosi, you know, as their leader when, you know, like, what's changing here? Usually after an election, you would think that people would come up with something new. But, you know, this is where we are. And we can't even get clear results and clear explanations for what happens. I mean, we really need to know this. We need to know who were the voters who felt so aggrieved that they came to the polls en masse to elect this, you know, this madman. I mean, so this is, like, where it's at. And this is why, you know, recounts matter. This is why verifying the vote matters, and I just hope we can, you know, see some light here, you know, some understanding. That's what I want.
Bob, thank you, Steve Rosenfeld. Your pieces at Alternet have been spectacular. We're going to have to keep this up. I'm going to invite both you guys back for next week, because if you can make it, I know that we're going to know a lot more in another week, and this is the most important story in the world today, without a hint of a question mark. So, Steve, you'll let me know. Bob, what do you got? Where can people get you? And what do you got for a final word here?
Well, freepress.org, where I co-write with you regularly. I edit that site in Columbus, freepress.com. And again, these numbers anywhere else outside the United States, our State Department, our Agency on International Development would call for an investigation. That's what the Green Party did. And I'd also like to clarify that Phil Stein can't get rich off of this. All of this is segregated in a heavily regulated recount fund. So all of the trolls out there working on behalf of Donald Trump and some on the far left that are acting like this is an exercise in somehow Stein benefiting financially don't know the facts and, in fact, are doing it because they're trying to obscure a recount that we didn't ask for. People came to us. And I believe Jill Stein is doing a historical public service, and that what we can hope for is that we'll end an era where partisan, for-profit corporations with secret proprietary software will no longer program our computers, program our elections, and that our voting system will be covered by, you know, critical infrastructure standards. That was the huge problem here as well. Homeland Security did not label our voting system as a critical infrastructure. It's outrageous.
Rob Fitzsakis and Steve Rosenfeld, I want to thank the crew in New York at PRN. We will do this again next week. I'm sure there's going to be a ton of news if you guys can join me. I will also guarantee nowhere else in the country has there been a show like this. We'll see you again next week in the Solartopia Green Power and Wellness Show. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Either way, we got what we needed when the sun shone down on the Garden of Eden.